Well, tonight we're back into our subject. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Last week I ended, we were beginning to talk about looking at things in the Scripture, specifically in the areas of what the Scripture has to say about salvation and being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be able to divide it, because understand, most of the people that we're dealing with in Christianity today, most people that are around, they jumble all of it together. You know, that in fact, they read the Bible, you know, the stuff that has to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're talking about it being the new birth, and it's not, it's specifically not, you can tell. And also, they'll take things and they jumble all kind of things around, even with baptism and everything. I mean, they have it all jumbled up. And so, one of the things, and you don't want to do yourself, don't try to go through the Word to find things that prove the way you believe. This is where people make huge mistakes, and this is how a lot of doctrinal error comes in. Because people have beliefs, and then they go look through Scriptures trying to find, to prove what they believe. The thing to do is read and study the Word, and let the Word decide your belief. Because I've seen that happen many times. I've seen people, this Scripture, they're looking through, well, I'm trying to find a Scripture that says this or says that. And they're looking, trying to do it. You know, study the Word and let the Word of God, you know, through the Holy Spirit, teach you, and let the Holy Spirit work in you through the Word and develop your belief system. It's one of the things that the Lord dealt with me some years back, and He said to me one day, why do you believe what you believe? And I realized what He was saying to me. He wanted me to go back and start going through the Word again and start going back, because over time, I have never met anybody that doesn't do this. Some people never do nothing about it, but everybody does this. Over time, we pick up things, or we get into thinking of some things because we heard things a certain way and heard it, or you know, we thought certain things, and we incorporate them into our belief system, and they're not biblical. You need to go back. Why do you believe what you believe? I'll never forget when I started off, I went back and I started studying and I started looking through some things and started studying them, and I stopped and I thought, dear Lord, some of this stuff that the Bible doesn't even say, and generally a lot of the major preachers preach it, but the Bible don't even say it. And I was looking down and looking through things again and finding, and I find this all the time. I mean, Scriptures that are used for things, and people say, yeah, this Scripture's talking about this. When I got over studying, I found out, what talking about that at all? But people generally pick it up, and people don't go back and look for themselves. One of the things, in fact, I was talking to a minister friend today about some things, and one of the things that we need to do, especially, you know, as Christians, is to read the Bible and study the Bible for yourself. So one of the things I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and I'd said this before in church, and I'll say it again and again. He said, you don't read his books, you study his books. Most people, I know people, and they've read 20 different books, and they read 20 books, and I've learned this over the years. I could read one book and know more than they did after they read their 20. Because they read them, but I would study a book. I'll go down and go through the Scriptures, and I'll go down and look through the Scriptures and study. Lots of times I got off and got a lot of wonderful revelation even on other things by going out to study certain things that they said in the book, and I got overlooking at it and found out some other things that I didn't know. And you do that because today one of the problems we have, if we take from our electronic age, people have quit studying the Word and they're mostly listening to preachers. They're just listening to preachers. That's all they're doing. They go to the TV, whether you have radio or you got your, you know, you can download anything. Listen, people are listening but not studying. They're not studying for themselves. They're not looking. And you need to be, you got to go over and do it. There's no way to bypass personal study for Christian development. You cannot. You will only go so far in your Christian walk by listening. You're only going to go so far. I don't care. This is one of the problems with our electronic age, is we're trying to take things of the natural and make those things, we can replace doing spiritual things. No, we can't. You can't do it. You know, I don't care. They can put all the prayer teams they want out here to pray for all they want. If you don't learn how to pray yourself in your own life, I'm just telling you, you're going nowhere. You ain't going no place. You got to learn how to pray for you. You can't just let somebody else do it, and it won't work. I don't care. You can get as many teams together and you can, you know, download as much, you can learn as much as you want. You can learn all you want about prayer. But if you ain't doing it, it don't amount to anything. You got to do it. So you practice it. You can't electronically do it. It can't be done. So the things you're going to have to do. But we want to look in the Word here tonight. We're looking into these things because we need to specifically, and I know there's some things I'm going to reiterate that I've said before. One of the things is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You're never going to develop in faith if you're always looking for something new. If you're not willing to sit down and listen to the same thing taught 47 times, you're probably never going to develop in faith. I learned this about faith. I never turn around and just, you know, had a, you know, 15 different things I'm trying to learn. I take a subject and I'll go over it and over it and over it and over it. If I'm listening to a teaching on it, I'll have maybe a couple tapes. You know, it's just like there's certain things that I've been trying to get into myself. I have a couple things I've been listening to. I have on my iPod. I bet I have listened to two messages 50 times. And I just keep listening. I keep going back to the Word. And I keep looking in the Word. And I keep going back. Why? Faith is developed through hearing and hearing and hearing. And you turn around and you get yourself to you hear it and hear it. Till after a while, you are so convinced. Faith is when you're totally convinced. If you're not totally convinced, you are not in faith. You've got to come to the place where you are so totally convinced in what you know that you can stand on it, because there's always going to be opposition when you make your stand. There's always going to be opposition. And if you're in any way can be moved, there went your faith. And that's why. It isn't how much you can grasp. Can you hold on to what you got? Can you stand on what you have? That's what makes the difference. It isn't, you know, it would be for a person in the military. They could know all the strategies and everything that you need to know. But when it comes time to the fight, what can you do? That's what's going to make the difference. It's what you can do is going to determine whether you're going to win. It's not how much you know. And that's one of the things Randall Greer, when the Lord told him about the informational church, we have that today, and that's a part of our electronic and our, you know, all this system we got. It's become that people say, oh, we're in an informational age. Yeah, full of information and total idiots. They don't know a thing. People know nothing. Full of information. We're in the information age. And our people, the brightest minds in our country, these are the smart guys for running stuff, can't fix a thing. And it's because of this. This is why going over the Word of God, we'll go over and over and over things again. In fact, I'm going to start in to some things I finished up with last week, but we want to go back over them again because we want to look at when we're dealing with salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have to be able to understand these two principles clear in the Word, because the majority of the people that you're running to, if they have any questions about this, you need to know it. You know, over the years, I don't know how many times I've gotten calls for people who say, well, what does the Bible say about this? You know, I had somebody ask them, maybe they could come and talk to you. And I'd say, no, they ain't going to come and talk to me either. They're going to talk to you, they ask you. Because what they want to do is, I don't want to have time to study and learn it. You learn all the stuff and I'll send them to you. You need to know it. Because this I know about the individual. They are not strong in themselves because they don't know. If you can't tell it to somebody about it, you don't know it. You don't know it. See, it's very simple. I mean, what I know, I mean, in doing walking, I can tell somebody else about it. I've had people, many kids say, well, I don't know how to explain salvation to somebody else. I say, well, you better start explaining to yourself, because I have a question about you. You don't even know you're saved. You could. How'd you get saved? You can't tell somebody how it worked? Hold it here. We got a problem. And this is, people have to know that, because if they're weak at that, the devil's going to nail them on it all the time. He's going to always be convincing them that, if you were a Christian, you'd have never done this or that. Well, the next thing you know, they're wondering if they're a Christian. He'll always be attacking you. This is why you want to know subjects and really know them well. We're going to look at it, but, and as I said, the majority of the church doesn't see the difference between the scriptures dealing with the new birth and being filled with the Spirit. One of the scriptures that we looked at dealing with the new birth last year, a series of scriptures in John, the third chapter, in the what they call the Gospel of John, third chapter, verses 3 through 8, we had read, and I'm going to read them again this week. This was Jesus talking to Nicodemus. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. says, Jesus answered and said to him, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said to you, you must be born again. He said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So this is speaking of people of the new birth, being born of the Spirit. This is talking about, we talk about born again. Now we know that Jesus was talking about the born again experience because of the reply of Nicodemus to him. You know, I've heard some people say, well, that really don't mean born again, that means born from above. I said, hold it. Nicodemus said about Jesus talking about a birth. And he said, well, can you go back into your mother's womb? In other words, it's talking about an actual birth. It isn't, people say, well, it doesn't really mean born again. Yes, it does. Because Jesus didn't say, Nicodemus, you aren't talking about the right thing. The only the thing in Nicodemus, he was talking about being born of the Spirit. Nicodemus thought you had to have a physical rebirth to actually have that happen. And see, did you ever think about that? I mean, we're born into this earth with a spirit. You got a human spirit. Now, really, what happens is you have a rebirth. See, Christianity has really sort of taught it that you don't have a rebirth. We talk about being born again, but I was a kid in church. All they talked about, they would show a dirty heart, and what God did was cleaned up the dirty heart. What they were showing you was forgiveness of sin. They weren't showing us new birth. They never showed us new birth. They showed us forgiveness of sin. In other words, you're going to heaven because your sins are forgiven. Wrong. No one enters the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. Do you know, a sinner out here could say to God, forgive me, and God would say, yeah. He ain't going to heaven. He ain't going to heaven because God said, yeah. We go to heaven because we're born again. And understand that. When we deal with Christianity and what makes a Christian, that's what a Christian is. A Christian is not somebody who just, they say, believes in Jesus. A sinner could believe in Jesus and have never accepted him. We are a child of God because we are born again. And so this is specifically speaking to the new birth. And so now in Acts, we know this was something that Jesus made this statement himself, and Jesus spoke before, and in Acts, the first chapter, Jesus again made a statement. So these are statements that Jesus made. And so, and they are talking about two different things that we'll see that clearly in Acts, the first chapter. Verse 5, Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And if we go down to verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, we can see this is totally different than the new birth. Yet constantly the church preaches that on the day of Pentecost was the day the church started. They got saved that day. Well, now Jesus never said such a thing. Jesus didn't say, wait in Jerusalem till you get born again. Did he? Did he say, you don't wait in Jerusalem till you accept Christ? Did you wait? Did he? No. He never said that. The church totally implies. They imply. They don't read the scriptures. Men imply. They have a doctrine. So they take the Bible and they put it to their doctrine rather than listen to what the Bible says. So he's talking about two different things here. I believe Jesus knew what he's talking about. I don't think Jesus was stupid and didn't know what was going on. We need to understand, Jesus was in his glorified form at this time. When Jesus was a man in the earth, maybe we could have sat down and somebody could have, you know, convinced someone that he could have possibly lied. But it's impossible for him to lie. He is glorified God. There's no more of this mortal man body anymore. This is glorified body. He's glorified God. And so he told them that Jesus didn't make a slip or an error when he said this. he was talking about something that he specifically knew about and knew was going to happen. Now, one of the things that these people that people tell us, and people may ask you or tell you, that when they get born, and when you get born again, you get all the Holy Spirit there is. You hear people say that you have all the Holy Spirit there is when you're born again. So when you get born again, that's all you need. And you know, they really make a statement, well, all you need is to get born again. Well, you could ask the question, all I need for what? You know, there's one thing we know about this is, now people speak that thing in generally, well, there's a general truth to that, but specifically, it's a lie. As a general truth, sometimes things that are wrapped in some truth and then tell a lie are worse than something that's an all-out lie, because people get deceived by it. People get deceived because it has some truth to it. So we need to get born again. In other words, if I want to get into the kingdom, but it's not the end. The new birth is a beginning. It's a place to walk. It's sort of like the church and the cross. Much of the church world has never left the cross. They're cross preachers. You know? Well, you know, there was a cross, but there was a resurrection. The cross is the place of sin and shame. You don't hang out at the cross. Because you'll notice this, any Christians who preach cross ministry always refer to themselves as sinners and we're just going to sin. Why? Because the cross is the place of sin and death. So they're preaching sin and death all the time. They're preaching sin and death, and then what happens? Now, look, I'm not knocking them, but this is what will happen. You'll end up sinning more. Because sin becomes the subject. Sin is this thing that, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just down here trapped, and I'm just waiting until Jesus comes till it gets, so it'll get better. So they don't go on. Well, there was a resurrection. Well, I believe in the resurrection. But after the resurrection, there was the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not enough to get born again. You got to go on to Pentecost. We're Pentecost people. That's who we are. If the church don't go to Pentecost, it is impossible to fulfill the perfect will of God. It cannot be done. Impossible. If you stay at the cross, and that's what you preach, cross all the time, and you don't ever come to resurrection, well, you're going to be way off base. If you come and you go, well, resurrection, and you preach, but if you don't go on to Pentecost, you don't have the power of God. You might know the message, but it requires the power of God to deliver people. The message without the power is a good message, but it is powerless. You need the power with the message. That's what it's about. The power. Jesus, we read before, remember that Jesus told the disciples, don't you guys go out there and preaching. Don't go out there till you receive the power from on high. Don't go do it. You want the power and the message. You got to have them both. You know, you might have money for gas, but no car to put it in. It don't matter. Or if you have a car and no gas, it don't matter. The two need each other. So you can drive that thing. Well, that's the way it is. People need to understand this, is the two run in hand. So that's why I always tell people, when I got born again, I knew it was a great change in my life. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I think that was the most powerful thing that ever changed in my life. It's not the experience that I had. It's what began to happen after I got born again. It's what, all of a sudden, these manifestations of things started happening. Things started taking place. I started getting senses of things and follow them and walk in them. And it's amazing. I remember the word of knowledge was one of the first things that started operating me. I just know things. I just know stuff. So many times, I would just know about people and things. And I'd know people's motives behind things, why they were doing them. I just know. Those things would start to happen. It was amazing. Well, I found out from a ministry standpoint, it sure helped a lot. It sure helped a lot because that's what it's for. It's for ministry. It's to help people. We're ministering to people. God would reveal things to me so I would know what to do. And so that was, you know, quite unique. And then things of power started happening to me and stuff, and things started going on. And, well, it's number one is I did have the right teaching going into it. I had the right teaching. I was taught to expect God to use you. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit's about. It's about manifestations, really. God's manifestation, biblical manifestations through our life. And, what is it? Is to bear witness Jesus Christ is alive. He's real. And, hallelujah. That's what we want to do. So, we looking at this thing here, so the Holy Spirit, we need to understand this. When we get born again, the Holy Spirit does impart eternal life to us. He does do that. That's what he does. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When you accepted Jesus, there is a work of the Holy Spirit. And it is through the Holy Spirit and faith in the Word of God that makes the human spirit a new creation. See, somebody preaches the Word, a person believes the Word, then they confess what the Word says concerning Christ to receive Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit goes to work and recreates that person's human spirit. See, I know that that's true. I know I got a new spirit because of what took place in me when I got born again. The night I got born again, I didn't have any kind of goosebumps or anything like that. I just knew I made a right decision. But I found in myself things where I became really, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I found out things about me that just totally, totally changed. I mean, things about myself, and I'd sort of sit some and scratch my head like, wow. Something is going on in me. Something has happened. It was that new creation. It was number one, I can just say this. I used to think for a long time that maybe I was weird or strange, but because I could not sympathize with people who, you know, always wonder if they're saved or wonder if, I was like, dear, how can you, not know. To me, it was always like, it was really weird. But because to me, I knew that I was saved. The Bible says, when we pass, you know, from death unto life, we love the brethren and things. This is one of the things I found out. Once I got saved, I wanted to be around other Christians. I don't understand. People say, I'm saved. I don't have nothing to do with the Christians. The Bible says we know we passed from death unto life because we want to be around them. We love the brethren. And see, that's one of the things of the change of the new man. And I found with that, I didn't want to hang out with the people I was hanging out with before. I found that the change in my life. And there was things that, as I learned the Word, I started saying, yeah, that's what's happened in me. That's what's going on. That's what's happened inside of me. I became this different person. And as I said, that's why my wife turned around and ended up accepting Christ. She told me, she said, first I thought you were just going through another phase of your life. And I went through some weird phases. Also I realized, I'm married to a different man. He's changed. He's different. And she realized it wasn't a phase. But that was because of the new birth. You don't get born again and all of a sudden you're this great Christian. But the new birth is a supernatural act of God in a human life that recreates the human spirit. If there's nothing supernatural happens about it, I question whether God was involved in it. How could a person get a new human spirit and nothing change? And nothing supernatural? I mean, it's going to change. But see, we have a gospel today that's preached as, well, you just get saved and you're a forgiven person, all that. There's no power. They preach a powerless gospel and there's a powerless salvation comes with it. The gospel is, all of it is power. Every bit of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. And that's why we want to preach salvation is a power. It's a supernatural change. When you come to Christ, you will not be the same. These people preach, God, well, you just come and get your sins forgiven. Go someplace else. Hear the true gospel. Have somebody preach to you, God's going to revolutionize your life. He's going to change you. You're going to become something different than what you were. So one thing is, I was glad because, see, I had that step preached for me. That's why when people, you know, I was an alcoholic. I didn't have to go through AA. I didn't have to go through that. I got delivered without it because I had a deliverance gospel preached to me. I didn't have a gospel preached to me that I was going to get saved and, you know, God saves a drunkard, then you just try to work it out in your life. I was told God would deliver me. And he did. But see, I had that to believe. That's why when people hear this weak gospel, there's nothing for them to believe. They said in these churches, it's just forgiveness of sin. If that's all I got, then let's kill the bulls and goats. They had that in the Old Testament. You know, there was nothing revolutionary about what was happening in their thing. But ours there is, and it is a gospel of power. Expect, and that's why I encourage you. You may have had a weak gospel preached to you, but start to believe in a power gospel. Get the power gospel. Believe in the power gospel. it's going to change and revolutionize your life. That's one thing is I loved about listening with Kenneth Hagin when I was born again and listening to his teaching, because I expected the power of God to move my head by behalf. I just thought that's the way it happened. And see, one thing was good about it, I wasn't listening to somebody else to tell me different. God told me to stick over to listen to Kenneth Hagin's teachings, and I know why he did. I know why he did. Because if I would have started listening to some other people, I would have been back over into bondage into things. They have their nice little gospel, their nice little stuff, being just a little good person. Hey, I want to be good, but I want to be powerfully good.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this. You're going to make it in this world. You're going to make it because you have power. In this world, the people who make it, it ain't the poor guy, the guy that's down in the dumps, the guy that's going nowhere. The person who makes it has power. In the world, it's either power through either influence or what worldly authority, money or whatever. But you're going to need power to make it in this world. And God has given us power to make it in this world. I have the influential power of heaven to make it here. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's what I have in this place. You have to have a place of power. Either you're standing in power or you're being pushed around. And most of Christians are being pushed around. The devil's running over them, kicking them around, doing stuff. Because they don't know what God has given them. I was always in a search of power. And to me, that power is important. Now I came to a place hooked up with the most powerful being that exists. Look, think about this. You got born again. You're in Christ Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto Him. Now on top of all that, He and His Daddy and the Holy Ghost are the most powerful beings in the universe. And you have all of their authority, and then their power backs up your authority. Who else? You could take all the nations of the earth and gather them together, and they ain't got the power nor the authority that we have. So get over in the power gospel. That's what makes this gospel work. It's the power of God. Hallelujah. Well, I got preaching over there. It might not be the subject, but it was good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've been made a new creation. In Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit Himself, He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is why. See, this is the need of the Spirit of God. It's not enough just the Word of God. We believe the Word. The Spirit caused us to be born again. We believe the Word. And the Holy Spirit caused us to be born again. But the reason you and I know we're born again is how? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. I don't know I'm born again just because the Bible says so. This is why most Christians fail. They never learn to hear the Spirit. You got to listen to the inner man. I know that I'm saved because in the inside I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm a child of God because the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And see, that's what you need. You need to come to the place. It ain't something just written in a book. That stuff gets written in you. It's written inside of you, glory to God. It's what you are. And so you get it written in you because the devil will come along if he don't. If you don't got it on the inside, he'll convince you on the outside when you miss the mark. Well, you'd have never done that if you were a saint. You'd have never done such a thing. And next thing he has you know, you're running away from God instead of to him. And the next thing you know, your mind's a question. Yeah, I probably never did get saved. I'll probably end up in hell. I committed the unpardonable sin. Believe me, the devil does it. There's an interesting study I looked at years ago where a Christian psychologist started to do a study in visiting psychiatric wards, and they found out the number one thing of Christians that they found in psychiatric wards was they ended up there because they believed they committed the unpardonable sin. The devil deceiving people. And I found this out. I've met people and I've talked to people about the unpardonable sin. And every time I ask the person, what did you do? And never one of them knew what the sin was. But said they'll deceive you. You've messed up here and there. And next thing you know, well, you committed them. Well, you did something and God can't ever have. What is it? The devil will never tell you what it is because if he lays a label on it, you can look to the scriptures to see if it's true. He ain't going to give you a label. But if you're not walking around with the knowledge that you're saved, if you don't have it on the inside of you, if you haven't learned to listen to that on the inside and you're just listening to the outside, the devil will deceive you. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. That's what He's doing. That's His job in you. That's one thing that He does is in you is to bear witness in you that you're a child of God. So the Holy Spirit is doing that. You don't have to worry about whether He is or not. He's doing it. He's bearing witness with you. Why? He wants you to be assured. God wants you assured. The Holy Spirit wants you assured. The Holy Spirit's bearing witness. He's bearing witness with our new created spirit that we're children of God. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. This is how we know that we're born again. Now, it's just some of the things in Scripture, because you need to know that if we're going to rightly divide Scripture, we need to know biblical terminology. One of the problems that we have today, and is why there's so many messed up doctrines, is because people keep updating a lot of slang of our culture, carrying it over into Christianity, calling things different things than Scripture tells us. And what happens is this. You can't find it in the Bible. Call things what the Bible says, you use its terminology because you're going to find it in the Bible. You need to understand that. Today, people are twisting things all around, turning things all. They're developing. Well, we're trying to, just like we do with the language today, people use slang. You don't even know what people are talking about anymore, because everybody's using their slang and everything else. And this is why. They found this out in studies. Taking the gospel to people, they have no clue what you're even talking about because their society's full of slang. And you got, you know, you sit people in an audience together and you got young people and people in this age who talk this and this talk that. And everybody's, and you know, has messed all kinds of things up. Communication is terrible. That's why if you can get people the Bible in their hand and you can preach from the Bible, you got a way of communication. And this is what you want to do. Another thing, you want to study and read the Bible, learn what the Bible says, use the terminology of the Bible, because then when you take a person to the Bible, you can show them what things say. You can show them things. Well, we want to look at something because what the Bible calls the new birth experience. So you have to know that. We want to deal with the areas of people being born again. You have to divide the word of truth. And now, in John, the first chapter, again, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, in verse 12, makes this statement. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. In other words, as many as received Him, speaking as many as received Christ, or Christ Jesus, as many as received Him, in other words, we have here concerning the new birth is the terminology used, receiving Christ. As many as receive Him. These are terminology that you find in the Bible, things about people is receiving Christ. Now when we talk about receiving Christ, people who have any idea about the Bible, they'll know what you're talking about. Or you can take about this dealing on the subject of receiving Christ. And these are the terms that we're going to look at, some terms that the Bible uses, which talks about the new birth and receiving Christ. In 1 John 5:11, it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. So there's a terminology that's used, is called receiving eternal life. People can use the term, that is one of the things, that's receiving eternal life is a term that people use for the new birth. You know, you received, because when you got born again, you did. You received eternal life. That's what you did. That's what you got. You now have the life of God in you. That's called eternal life. So you have eternal life. You have that in you. Now, another thing the Bible says in Acts 26, here is, we're going to read two scriptures in 17 and 18 there. This is the Lord speaking to the Apostle Paul. He said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I have now sent you for this purpose, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. Now, he said, made this statement, receiving forgiveness of sins. He did not say asking forgiveness of sins. There's a total difference. Jesus Christ already forgave all men of their sin. We receive the forgiveness of our sin when we accept Jesus Christ. That's how you get your sins forgiven. That's how we get them forgiven. We don't get them forgiven by asking God to forgive it or confessing our sin. We get born again by receiving Jesus Christ. In doing so, we receive the forgiveness of sin. That's how we get it. It's already done, but it must be received. Another thing, because Jesus made the statement himself in Mark 11:24. Whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, you believe you receive it. See, all the promises of God are yes and amen. The promise of salvation is yes and amen. It is something given, not something trying to get. If I ask God to forgive me of sins, now I have to wait till I hear from heaven that he says yes. That's not receiving forgiveness of sins. That's asking for it. Receiving it is believing that he's giving it and saying, Lord, I just believe right now in the name of Jesus. I receive the forgiveness of my sin. Thank you for forgiving me. The answer is yes and amen. He's talking about here. And so this is one of the things. This is where people don't read the scriptures. They get in their own mind of what they think of all. They say, you want to get born again? You need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. And then you need to go confess your sin. And now they got themselves a nice little sin doctrine they're preaching to person. Instead of a life doctrine, instead of bringing them to Christ, they start magnifying sin. You don't want to do that. Because a person will end up this poor old sinner saved by grace. We're just waiting down here until Jesus comes and drags us off and gets us out of here. You know, it's so bad. So one of the terminologies that we should understand is the terminology of receiving forgiveness of sin. In other words, those are things that the Bible talks about that deal with some things that, not all, but some things that deal with the new birth, with being born again. And so there's some terminologies that I'm just going to give you, and then as we look through the scriptures, you'll see these. But when we deal with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to find totally different things said. There are totally different things said about that in the scriptures. So that we'll know this can't be talking about the same thing. They're not talking about the same stuff. When the scriptures talk about in the book of Acts about being filled with the Spirit, it's one of the terminologies is receiving the Holy Spirit. It talks about receiving the Holy Spirit. Well, that's totally different than receiving forgiveness of sin, isn't it? Totally different. It also talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It talks about being, well, that's different than any of the terminology. That's different than receiving Christ, isn't it? It says receiving Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit. But see, people tie all this stuff together. You know, and how they did it, I don't know. It's incredible. The terminology is used in the book of Acts, baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's also the terminology is used of receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those are terminologies that are used in Scripture. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back over, and like I said, we're going to reiterate over things, scriptures that I used before, but we want to go back through them, and we're going to go to the book of Acts. We want to go in Acts the 8th chapter, where Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ, and we want to look at that tonight. We're going through that thing because we want to see the difference, because these scriptures show the new birth and they show the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They show the two, and they separate the two. They separate the two. So, in Acts, the 8th chapter, I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." It says, "Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done." Now, if we stop here and we look at what took place here, it says, we see that the people who believed the people believed the preaching, and the preaching, what was he preaching? It tells us specifically his message. He was preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. And what did they believe? They believed that. That's the message. They believed what he said about what he was preaching about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. That's what they believed. And it says that they were baptized. They were baptized. So we know the fact, because here, if we read down in the rest of this, it says now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. See, they didn't come down because the men, they weren't born again. They didn't come down. See the terminology. They didn't come down because they hadn't received Christ. They didn't come down because they hadn't received forgiveness of sin. There's none of that. It says that they came down for that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. I want you to ever think about that terminology? These guys, all they got was born again. Statements made here in the Word like, gee, that's all they got. Like, man, you didn't get the good stuff yet. He said they only got born again. They got baptized into the name of Jesus. He said that's all they got. You need to understand this. The reason God saved you is so you could be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why He did it. That's the purpose of the new birth. The new birth without the baptism of the Holy Ghost is an empty shell. It amazes me. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. You and I were born again so God could live in us. That's what it's about. It's so God can live in me. So God can live in me in His fullness. That's what the new birth's about. See, we need to pick up. The church needs to understand. I mean, the church is really operating on a very low level. God's offered this huge thing, and the church has been down here groveling in a little bit because we think it's too much. It can't be that good. He couldn't have given us that much. Look who we are. You know, my words, scoundrels we are. My words. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to keep being a scoundrel till you get a lot of God in you. That's what makes the difference. The more God gets in you, the less scoundrel we become. I'm just telling you, that's the way it works. Hallelujah. That's why I need to get more God in me. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. So, but we find here, it says, so the people believe that you get all the Holy Spirit, these people that believe this, when you get saved, they believe different than Peter and John believe. Peter and John didn't believe that. All these people swear they're scriptural. Oh, we believe what the Bible says. Yeah, lots of ruck. Peter and John didn't believe that. So this doesn't mean that these folks aren't saved, but they just have a lack of knowledge. And I want to talk to you about that lack of knowledge. You need to get clear of what the Bible says about this lack of knowledge. Paul spoke about the type of person who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who don't know about it. Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, there's three different scriptures that he used a term in there in chapter. I'm not going to read the verses, but you can read there. It's in the 14th chapter in verse 16, verse 23 and 24. In the New King James Version, he called them the uninformed. In the King James, he called them the unlearned. They are uninformed people. Because he talks about too, he says, the unbeliever and the uninformed or the unlearned come in. He's talking about two types of people. When they come in and you're all just talking in tongues, he talked about two type of people you might have in your meeting other than the Spirit-filled. You have the people who are unlearned or uninformed, and you have an unbeliever. The uninformed person or the unlearned is the person who is born again, who don't understand about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. He's not called, like we use the term today, they call him fundamentalist. He is not a fundamentalist. It's like the Lord told me. They are not fundamentalists because they don't believe the fundamentals of the Word of God. They believe in the new birth, and that's it. They don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in the laying on of hands, healing. And they don't believe in none of that stuff. They're not fundamentalists. They're called uninformed or unlearned. And they're uninformed and unlearned of spiritual things. They don't know spiritual stuff. You will always be limited in spiritual things, if you don't develop over the areas of the Spirit, learn baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the opening of the door to the Spirit-filled world. It's the opening of the door. Tongues is the key to it. Tongues is a key. And that's why, you know, the devil wants so many people not to believe it. He doesn't want, if you don't understand the spirit realm, he is safe, but you are not. He's safe, but we're not. Because there's a lot of things and tactics that he can bring along that you don't know about, because it requires a developing in the Spirit. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the key. It's what opens the door to all of this stuff. And the devil wants people staying away from it. He don't want people around it. He don't want people near it. That's why he gets people over there, that thing, and boy, they'll just fight against it. You know, he wants them to stay over there in the reasoning of their minds and not walking in the light of the truth. So when the Samaritans believed, they believed what Philip preached concerning the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. It says they were baptized, and were they baptized in water? That's what they were baptized in. In other words, isn't that what happens? A person gets born again, they're baptized in water. The baptism in water is just an outward sign to people. It doesn't mean as much in our cultures today. Now, there are cultures that still, that really means a whole lot. Our cultures today don't, you know, think about it as much from that standpoint. But in their day, whatever belief that you took, you were baptized into. You know, just like I was in India. In India, baptism's a huge thing. I was over there and I preached. A guy came to me who was a minister, and he told me, he said, "You come over here and preach." He said, "A lot of people are going to come and they're going to get saved." And he said, "Your meetings are going to come accept Christ, but they won't be baptized in water because they're afraid of the Muslims and that stuff. But I mean, the Hindus, because if they get baptized in water, see, the baptism, they don't care what you say you believe. They find out what you believe if you're going to live it. Now I'm going to go get in the water." Because it's what you're baptized into determines what you believe. See, in the culture, that's why they don't want people baptized. You don't want people baptized in water to Jesus. That means you've turned to that. You've made him your Lord. We need to understand this. Your confession means nothing until you obey the Word of God. You can say you believe Jesus is Lord, but until you acted like he's your Lord, it amounted to anything. Confession without action is worthless. It doesn't produce a thing. And see, they had it over there. They, you know, these people, they say people didn't want to do it. And I just looked at the guy and I told him, and this guy was a minister. And I said to him, I said, you know, I said, maybe your gospel's like that, but I said, mine's better than that. I said, the gospel I preach, they'll want to follow Jesus, I guarantee you. He said, well, you're going to see. Well, we went out, I preached the gospel. We had a week of crusades. The first time in my life I ever preached a crusade, because I'm not an evangelist. And I wasn't going to preach the crusade. I was doing teaching sessions in the day, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do teaching sessions in the day. And they came and asked me to do the night crusade, and I said no. And then God said, yeah, you do the night crusade. And I said, Lord, I'm not an evangelist. I can't preach night crusades. And the Lord said, you're going to preach night crusades. And I said, oh, boy. I really dread the first night, because it's like, you're standing up in front of a crowd, and I've missed in front of a crowd. Don't mind me being in front of a crowd. But what bothered me was I'm thinking, wouldn't it be better to have an evangelist standing here, somebody who's anointed in that? And I walked up on stage, and this anointing came on me that I never knew before. It was the anointing of evangelist. And I preached an evangelistic message. I just stood there and preached a real simple evangelistic message. And I just knew, people come to Jesus. You just know, it's the most crazy thing. And I had it for a week, and then it left, and I never had it since. But it was a good thing. I learned about the anointing, and I learned this about evangelists. A lot of evangelists, they almost try to talk people into being what they are. You aren't that except you get the anointing. All of us can witness Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, an evangelist has an anointing, and I'm going to tell you, you just know that anointing is going to draw people. You just know it. You just know that it's going to draw people. I mean, there's things, and it's just like when I come over in the area, there's things that I know standing under my anointing. I know. And I operate there, and you just know that the anointing will do certain things. You know that. And that was quite an interesting thing that took place. But we're walking in the light. We want to walk in the light of this salvation, and we're talking about here because we see there's salvation here going on, that these people are saved. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have these ones, they're born again, they're baptized in water. Now, so we know this, these people are saved. We know for sure. You know, anybody that comes along, we'd say, now if somebody received Christ If they did, if they received Christ, they're baptized in water. Everybody says, well, are they saved? Well, I'm going to tell you what. You'd have to get a Baptist to lie to say they weren't saved. Because he'd have to speak against his own doctrine. They were saved. Now, we know from a standpoint that they were saved just from what Jesus said himself. Jesus told the disciples this in Mark 16. So we'd have to throw Jesus out on this if these people... When somebody says they weren't saved, you need to take them to Mark 16 where it clearly tells us that these people are saved, because Jesus said in Mark 16 in verse 15 and 16, he said, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. These people are saved. Jesus declared the people who would believe and are baptized are saved. These people are saved. They're born again. But they don't have the Holy Spirit. People said, we have the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you what. You might have the witness of the Holy Spirit, but you don't have the Holy Ghost. It's a whole different thing to have the witness of the Spirit and have the Holy Ghost. Totally different things. Totally different thing. So these people were born again, but they weren't filled with the Spirit. They didn't have the Spirit. So Peter and John said that they had not received the Holy Spirit. They said they didn't receive them. They're born again, but they have not received the Holy Spirit. See, when people say, I have all the Holy Spirit there is, Peter and John said, if you're just born again, you haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. See, I'm going to stick to the Bible. I don't care what... See, this is one of the reasons why the doctrines have changed. Because ministers, and not only ministers, but people, hate to tell a person, make a person feel bad to say that they don't have something. They hate to say it. You know? I watched this go on, and I was in a church. They preached, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues. And you'd have some people... So they'd never learned developer hookup, and so they never learned how to hook up to things, and so they'd have hands laid on them. They wouldn't receive the Spirit. Oh, you have the Holy Ghost. You just haven't spoken tongues. You got it. No, you don't. Because if you get filled, you will speak with tongues. You will. It's the evidence. As we're going to find, we'll teach on this as we go through the Scriptures. It's the evidence. Now, and so this is why it's one of the things we want to know. When things are not taught correctly, when things are not said to people correctly, when a lie is told to make a person happy, so I don't want them upset at me, they might get upset and leave the church. If you don't like the Bible because I told you what it said, you're going to leave the church. I'll help you pack your bag. Because if you're going to leave, if somebody's going to leave because we don't make the Bible fit them. Well, you don't want people around like that. You don't want people like that around your Christian life. Because I will guarantee you, the devil will use them to tear everything up. You see, it's a whole thing. If I haven't got it and it ain't working, I mean, I can walk around all I want and say I got it when I don't. That changes nothing. That don't change a thing. And so, people get offended over things, but I never worry about the guy that gets offended. If they get offended, I just ignore them and go to somebody who wants something. The person that's offended, until they repent, they ain't getting nothing anyhow. And you need to understand that. We have all these ministries in the church to help all these people who want to live like hell. And nobody gets nowhere. We minister to people who want to go somewhere, and I'll tell you what, you'll help people get somewhere. If somebody don't want it and they're not interested in it, don't fight over them. Let them go to what they want to go to. If they're not interested in what the Bible says, they have their doctrine, to sit and argue with them. I've seen these people do these things, and they have panels and sit and talk about it. They never do anything for anybody. I saw a minister, he's Spirit-filled, had a panel, him and some woman who, they both believed in the salvation and Jesus Christ as their Lord. And two guys, one guy was an atheist and the other one believed that everybody's going to be saved no matter what. And one of the worst things of all, he brought this in his church. He had a church of maybe 2,000 people. Most of them were younger people. Probably, I bet the majority of his congregation was probably under 30 years old. And he let these people sit and preach their doctrine in his church. I thought, you ignoramus, you stupid moron. Because you're going to try to argue like you're going to win him. Your job ain't to win him in front of all your people sitting there. That ain't your job, you idiot. You don't let them preach their stuff in your church. Ain't some moron from some other religion coming in our church and preaching. I'll tell you that. Because I will guarantee it, as sure as this, I will guarantee you there's people who bought things that they said. I'll guarantee you it happens every time. And I'm going to tell you what, that pastor is going to stand in judgment before Christ on doing that. Idiot. So we have too many baby Christians, you know. And that's a baby Christian act, trying to see, he wants to prove how smart he is. I don't care if people think I'm smart or not. Hallelujah. It's what God thinks. That's what we want. Hallelujah. I'd rather know 10 scriptures out of the Bible than, you know all the science in the world. Hallelujah. It don't matter. But to turn around and do that, I thought, man, you must hate your sheep. Trying to show off, and these people are sitting there, and they did most of the talking. Well, we don't want to be doing that. So follow what the Scripture says. Peter and John said these people were born again. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit. I remember when that was preached to me, so I just decided the fact, well, then I don't have that experience yet. I didn't have that because I was just born again. Now, it was good. I mean, born again was good. It was sure better than going to hell and acting like I was before. Believe me, my wife was a lot happier person. We had a lot better household. Ed born again. He needed it. And it was good. But I knew, but the whole thing is in me. It was like there was more to be had. And there's one thing you're going to find this out. Even you get filled with the Spirit, you know there's more to get a hold of. But now you can get a hold of it. Now you can get a hold of it. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it opens the door. Now there's things you can grasp a hold of. That's the beauty of it. See, that's why you want to be filled with the Spirit, because it isn't human power, human wisdom. It isn't the strong will of a person that allows us to go on with God. What will make a person great with God is God's anointing on their life to get a hold of it. And the Holy Ghost in you for that. That's what He's there for. The Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is in you to help you to do the will of God. You need it. You're not going to do it by your own willpower. Your willpower is not strong enough. I'm a strong-willed person at some things, but I'm some things, man, I tell you what, I'm not. And even the things that I'm strong-willed, what God wants you to do, you're going to need the anointing of God to do it. You're going to need the anointing of God, because the anointing of God makes things happen that you cannot do. You can't do. It's impossible. You can't turn the hearts of people. You can't do that. Number one, you can't heal the sick. You can lay hands on them. You can say over them what God said. But if the anointing doesn't work, it's just you talking wind. It's just you rubbing the hair off their head. It's just, that's all it is. You need the anointing of God. And that's why it is about you and I having the anointing of God on our lives. We know that these people were born again because in 1 Peter, the first chapter in verse 23, says this: having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Didn't it say over there they believed the word? They believed the words that Philip preached. So we know this. They responded to the word of God. Okay, so according to verse 14, the Samaritans received the word. So to receive the word is to receive Jesus Christ. Because we know that Jesus Christ was the Word of God from 1 John. 1 John, the first chapter, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 12 of that chapter says, but as many as receive Him, to them He gave the power, the right to become the sons of God, to those who believe in His name. And verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. They received the Word. They received Christ. They are born again. Yet, they have not received the Holy Spirit. They've not received the Holy Spirit. See, people get offended by that. It was beyond me why a person would get offended. To me, I would like, you know, to me it would be great to find out that if I thought I had something and I didn't, I would find it out. You know, it's like you thought you had money and then you wrote the check and found out you didn't have it. It wasn't in the bank. That's what most Christians are doing. They're out here writing checks and there's nothing to back it up. There's no Holy Ghost for them to back up. They think they got what they don't. You'd think if people would be happy to find that out. You know? It ain't nothing worse if you wrote the check out and find out there was no money in the account the whole time you thought you had it. So I would think that people would be glad to find out and say, well, okay, if I don't have it, how do I get it? Hallelujah. That's the thing you want to know is how we would get it. So what did Peter and John come to Samaria for? Well, did they come to the Samaritans to get them saved? No, it didn't say that. They come to Samaritans to accept Jesus Christ. They didn't do that. They come to Samaritans to be born again? No, they didn't do that. For this, they come to the Samaritans to receive eternal life. No, they didn't do that. See, that wasn't what's being talked about. Why? Because they already had that. They already had that. That's what they needed. They needed to be born again. And so, I want to share something in a scripture to you. Just a second. So, a picture, something you can see over into Mark, the second chapter. And I'll go over and I'll close with this one here, and we'll pick up next week to go and be able to look at to see the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being born again. But here's a scripture. Jesus spoke about this, and it makes a clear picture of why we're supposed to be born, why we're born again. And in Mark the second chapter, in verse 22 says, and this is Jesus speaking, and he said, no one puts new wine in an old wineskin, or else the new wine bursts the wineskin. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put in a new wineskin. Jesus is talking about two things. Number one, he's not talking about from the standpoint, wine is never used in reference of the new birth. Wine is always used in reference of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the terminologies used concerning the Holy Spirit. Wine, there's also other things, water, different things. But wine is, and he's talking here about what a wineskin. An old wineskin. The wineskin is about the new birth. It's the vessel. It's the vessel that holds the wine. And you need to understand that vessel he's talking about is the human spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. The old human spirit, the human spirit and the old nature cannot hold the Holy Spirit. It can't hold it. It would destroy it. It would absolutely destroy it. It would wipe it out. Sin can't be in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit's God. People say, I want more of God. Well, get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I feel bad because sometimes people are they got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, and they're walking around trying to get God. It's like, wake up, space cadet. Why don't you start believing the Word? But understand this. What is he talking about? What's the wineskin for? See, the wineskin without anything in it is an empty skin. You were born again for the new wine. You were born again for the Holy Spirit. That's what it was for. You were born again to be filled. You were given this new skin so you could be filled. You know, Jesus talked about demons, about them going out. And he said he comes back and find the place, you know, clean and garnished. But the place ain't filled. I'm going to tell you, I've watched people do this. I've watched people saved and then write up the same old demonic problems they're in before because they don't get filled with the Holy Ghost. They come back and find the wineskin ain't got nothing in it. It's an empty wineskin. It got saved, that's good. But that wineskin is supposed to be filled. Why? Ain't no devil moving in with the Holy Ghost. Ain't no devil moving in with the Holy Ghost. But see, people don't get filled. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to be. We're supposed to. It's God's plan and God's purpose for us is to get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why Peter and John, they didn't wait, well, sometime we'll let those guys get filled. Peter and John, as soon as they heard the Samaritans got saved, let's get them full of the Holy Ghost. Let's get them full of the Holy Ghost. That's why we're ministering, because really, today, we're trying to minister through a lot of different stuff with this, because there's so much teaching and stuff, and so, really, it's a lot of unscriptural stuff, a lot of things. People have a lot of ideas and things. Loads of people believe it, and even God, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the devil, you know. My God. If I get full of the Holy Spirit, I'll get the devil, and the whole time, they're open for the devil. They don't realize it with themselves, but they're open for demonic spirits. And really, baptism of the Holy Spirit is a safety to us. Hallelujah. God now lives in you. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. And as we go along, one of the things I want to do, I don't know exactly how many of you here are filled with the Holy Ghost, but one of the things I want to do is teaching these things, because I want you to build your faith. I don't want you to have hindrances of anything to stand in your way if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. And is in the areas of operating, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll deal with more in the areas too of being of praying in other tongues, speaking in tongues and things. We'll talk about those things because you need to do it. You need to be operating in it. It is an operation of faith. We don't speak in tongues because we feel an unction. Because if you do that, you may never do it. You might have, you know, I don't matter. I have all kinds of feelings. But I don't let that bother me at all when it comes to praying in the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, he said, I will pray in the Spirit and I'll pray in my understanding also. Well, I don't have to get an unction to pray in my understanding. I don't have to get some kind of feeling to pray what I do know to pray about. So I do not need an unction of any kind to pray in other tongues. Why? When I pray in other tongues, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't pray in tongues, number one. If I have to wait for an unction, it's these people believe that the Holy Ghost does the praying. The Holy Ghost don't do any praying. Ed Gibson does it all. When I'm praying, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit don't talk in tongues. I do. I speak in tongues. The Holy Ghost don't talk in tongues. I speak in tongues. He speaks, he gives utterance. In other words, I'm speaking in tongues. He's making sense of the thing. It says, when I'm speaking in tongues, he's speaking mysteries to God through me. Well, people say, why would God want you to pray something out and you don't know what it is? Probably get a whole lot more done if we don't figure it out. The person that says, I've had people say that to me, I'm thinking, it's just because of you. That's why. Because he couldn't get you to do a thing. You'd never do the right thing because you have to understand it all. See, I've learned this and it's really helped me with learning these things because, you know, people today spend too much time trying to understand stuff. We spend, a lot of Christians never develop or get anywhere because they're always got to know it all. You know, I want to tell you, success ain't in what you know, it's in what you're doing. I don't care how much you know, it's how much you can do will bring success. That brings success. You know, I don't care how much you know. I remember I had a guy I worked with, and he was reading books all the time on cars. That guy could tell you things about cars. I wouldn't even know what he's talking about. He'd tell you things about engine specs on engine. This guy could go down through all kinds of stuff, and he was always doing this stuff. And I had a BMW, and I was working on this thing on some stuff, and I asked him a question. I said, hey, did you ever work on one of these and this stuff? And I asked him some questions, and he just sort of drew a blank, and I said, you know all these things about this engine, but I said, you don't even know what it looks like. You wouldn't know what to do to work. I said, you ever worked on it? And he said, no. I said, what are you wasting your time for? Why learn all this stuff? You know, at least learn what you're going to do. Just knowing information. And see, there's a lot of people in that place in the Bible today. They're going to seminars and are going things to learn things, but not to do things. See, I'll tell you what. If I can just get one truth that I can put to, you know, apply it to my life some way, I'm going somewhere. You know, I don't need to know 50 truths. I say, boy, that was really nice, but now what do I do with that? But if I can get a hold of something that I can apply, and I know that I can take this and apply it, then I'm going to get over there and I'm going to start applying that thing till I get it working in my life. See, you ain't going to get 50 things at one time working. You might find 50 revelations, but I'm going to tell you what. You're going to work one at a time getting things working in your life, and that's the thing to do. I just take a truth, and I'll hang on that truth. There's some things God's been dealing with me on. That's why I've been listening to these tapes over and over, these two things over and over again. I've been just listening to the messages. I've been going to the Word. Why? There's some things I want to grab a hold of, I want to get. You know, if I clutter myself, you know, on 50, you know, different things and listening to 47 different preachers preach, I know what's going to happen. I ain't going to be doing none of them. No, I get over here, look, I got to get a hold of this. I got to grab that. I need this. You know, I don't need to know everything how Jesus is coming back, you know, when I'm stumbling up on the littlest things in my life. So you sense. You sense. This is what I find. People that are usually coming along and really don't know a lot, and they I really want to get ahead with God. They're usually asking me questions about things it ain't even of no importance at all, that they don't need to know at all. The things they need to know in their life, they're overlooking. I've learned to find out what the things I need. Sometimes you got to ask God what you need. You don't know. Sometimes you don't know. You know, sometimes what you think will straighten out your problem isn't going to be what straightens out your problem. I found that a lot of times. Many times we're moved, it's like the Lord told me. He said, you're like a doctor who treats symptoms. He said, you never find out what the real problem is. See, he said this to me. He said, a person can have a headache for many reasons. He said, a person could have a headache, you know, just from tension or whatever. He said, and the Lord said this to me. They could take an aspirin, it'd help them. They'd feel better. He said, if they have a brain tumor, he said, they can take all the aspirin they want. But he said, it ain't going away. If you don't deal with a brain tumor, you're going to still have the pain. And see, this is why we need the Holy Ghost. We need God. Say, God, you know, I see all these things that are going on in my life I don't like, and I've been working on them. Now, Lord, I'm going to quit trying to do it because I've been doing this and it ain't been working. What am I supposed to be working on? Sometimes you need to go to God. Like, you need to find out what you really need to be working on. Because sometimes you're working on symptoms of a problem, but it ain't the problem. Something's causing you trouble. You're dealing with things. And this is where, that's why we can't have some kind of canned book written that just answers everybody's trouble. Because some people can have what seems to be the same symptoms in their lives, but they come from different sources. It's from a different thing. I've been around people who are sick, seem to have the same disease. One of them can be just by laying hands on for healing. Another one, there's a demon behind it causing the problem. Well, you can lay hands on them for healing all you want, and it ain't going away. You're going to cast that demon out. Well, you don't know that. See, that's why we can't just have these canned things out here. And that's what the body of Christ wants. Your flesh wants everything canned. Just give me a rule book. Well, don't worry, you can't follow the rule book either. Israel tried that one. You need the Holy Ghost. And see, this is what happens. When the Holy Ghost shows you what to work on, He will also empower you to work on it. He'll empower you to work on it. He ain't going to just tell you that this is the problem. I mean, what good's that going to help if I couldn't fix it the other way? Now I'm here. No, He will tell you, and that's where He'll empower you to deal with it. So now you'll have God's ability to help you deal with it than you being working at it alone. So don't get yourself over in condemnation of things. Don't get yourself over there. If you have areas of your life, stop and just say, hey, God, man, I just seem to be getting nowhere. Maybe whatever it might be, Lord, I just sometimes I find myself that I want to take a step up high spiritually. I just want to do that. And I find, I'm not being able to move. I need to. And it ain't till God, what's going on? What's happening? Sometimes I've had God do this. God told me, go listen to somebody speak. Or say, God reminds me of a certain CD that I have or something. Say, you need to go listen to that. And I'll go get that CD out and bang. It'll tell me what my problem is. I know what on earth's going on. He'll show me what's happening. And so we need to do that. That's why you want to listen to the Holy Spirit. We're not on this trip by ourselves. Don't ever get over nothing. Don't ever try to live your Christian life without God, because I will tell you it'll happen. You'll fail. And you'll fail miserably at it, because we can't live it. God never expected you to walk this life out without Him. He never expected. He never expected you to do it without His ability. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why. Hallelujah. What you don't know, He's there to teach you. That's what He does. He takes what belongs to Jesus and He shows it to you. He's not hiding things. Whatever is in your life and you're dealing with, understand this. He loves you. He wants to show you. He wants to help you. He is not working against you. He's working for you. The devil works against you enough. What would he have to do that for? God is trying to get us out of trouble. We're the ones helping the devil sometimes get in trouble. But God is always working to get us out of things and get us over things. Hallelujah. He's always your friend. Don't let anybody preach you any other sermon as if God is against you. Because if God's against you, I'm just going to tell you this, you ain't got a chance. If God's against you, you're going out, bud. It's that simple. If God's against you, you ain't got a chance. I mean, how are you going to pray the God that's against you? And you're going to ask the devil to save you? God's not against us. He's for us. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Father God, the word's always good. And Lord God, I thank you for the witness of the Holy Spirit that we know that we're children of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad of that, Lord. Father God, I pray that that's a strong witness in each one of us. Father God, that's something the devil cannot tamper with nor move. That we know for sure that we're children of God. We're saved. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God. We're your children. We're secure. We thank you for the great Holy Spirit that you gave us to direct us and bring us into the truth. I thank you for tonight, Lord God, that through the Holy Spirit, the word's unveiled. It's not by the wisdom of men, but it's by the great Holy Spirit of God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to the hearts tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that they are being strengthened. Lord God, Father, they're seeing the plans and purposes of God. Father, they're being encouraged. They know, Father God, that you're leading them up, not down. Hallelujah. Father, that you're putting them over in life. Lord God, whatever challenges they might be facing, I thank you right now for the greater one that's in them. Lord God, that's putting them over right now. I thank you, Father, that there's divine answers being given to them in the name of Jesus. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for your great protection around them in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we stand against any evil force or any enemy that's coming against them. Devil, we bind your mouth against them in the name of Jesus Christ. These are children of God. They're not your children. They don't belong to you. You shut up in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for victory. I thank you they hear the voice of God clearly. I thank you, Father God, the Holy Spirit speaks to them and guides them into the truth. Father, I thank you there's a holy security that's rising up inside of them, Father, that they know whose they are. They know where they're walking. They know where they're going. And I thank you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit's working in each one of us tonight to take us to a higher place and to a higher walk. Lord God, Lord, we cannot do it without your help. And we recognize that and we thank you for the empowerment of God working in us and the great love of God, hallelujah, that promotes us and pushes us forward, hallelujah, in the kingdom. And Father, through it, we overcome. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.